Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So, our assignment from yesterday, who in your life comes to mind when you consider anxiety? Record and listen. So here's our first caller.
All right.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. It's Colin here.
Hello, Colin.
Oh, hello. yes, oh, so anxiety. Yeah, there was somebody who came to mind immediately that I project is anxious a lot of the time. And, yeah, I just remember a recording I made about this person saying, you know, that I love you even when you're anxious. And rather than being irritated by the anxiety, but accepting the person, even though they seem to be anxious a lot of the time. And so going from anxiety to love, really. And it seemed to make it much easier to be with that person. And, yeah, and it was a much more sort of peaceful experience being together. And the anxiety seemed to dissipate somewhat. But I wasn't getting anxious about.
So you didn't go to a feeling of anxiety because the other person was anxious.
Well, yeah, at that time I had done previously. Yeah, I've gone to a lot of stress and anxiety, but I remember making this. It was just to that I didn't go to anxiety. I was able to go to acceptance, I think, and presumably that's an acceptance of myself as well.
And that's the secret, isn't it?
Yes, I can't remember how it happened. But thank goodness I've got a recording, and it comes around periodically, and it reminds me of that.
Right, because what's going on with somebody else doesn't bother us unless it's also going on with us.
Well, yes, exactly, yes. And it's a projection, yes, absolutely. Something that I suppose anxiety is something that has made me feel, I've been worried about quite a lot over the years. Being anxious about, all sorts of different bits of content, yeah.
Yeah, and so if you're okay, if you make peace with any anxiety you might feel, if you're not afraid of being anxious, then if somebody else is anxious, that's okay. In fact, we can go to a place of sympathy or compassion, right? Because I know what it feels like to feel anxious. I wish this other person could get to a place of not feeling anxious, but I certainly don't need to reject them because they're feeling anxious, because I know what that feels like.
Yes, and that's such a big change to move from sort of really finding a person's anxiety as problematic or my own anxiety as problematic to being able to embrace them and accept them. And it's a huge change, really, to go from one place to the other, yeah.
Yeah, and to recognize that as a process. So if somebody is angry and I get really upset about that, well, then I don't have to look to the other person. I can look at, what have I got going about anger? Right? And if we apply that with everything in our lives that we don't like, that we avoid or resist in other people, then whatever is going on is a tremendous opportunity for us. And not just to find compassion for somebody else, but to have a little workshop of our own about, what's going on with me about that?
Yes, that's right. And not to, one of the things that, with practice is that I'm much more aware of anxiety. So I tend to sort of noticed it a lot more. Maybe I was just going about my day before and not really noticed it. And I think conditioning wants to kind of hook that onto other people. Oh, well, aren't they anxious all the time? And actually bring it back to myself that it's something for me to look at.
So helpful, isn't it? I think there's that that quote, I don't know, it's something along the lines of, we're here to help other people. What other people are here for, who knows? And, it's kind of a variation on that theme, right? That it's so helpful to be around people, whatever's going on with the person, because it's an opportunity for us to see what's going on with us and have a different relationship with that. So whatever's going on with anybody else is helping me in suffering if I take advantage of it that way.
Yes, it's all there for me, isn't it? So to help me in every moment. It's all there. It's everything I need, so I can say,
Yes, exactly. Yeah, what a blessing. All right. Thank you, Colin.
Yeah. Thank you both. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Colin. You know, the thing that fascinates me about that, Cherry, is that it's for the first place we start to look is the reaction to, which gives us so much information about where we suffer.
Yeah.
Right? And the way we're conditioned to think is that there's nothing going on for me. It's the other person being anxious that I'm upset about.
Yes.
And so it doesn't actually, so then there's a movement to go, okay, well, I have to either get away from that anxiety or if the person is anxious or I've got to fix them or I've got to change the situation. But to look at what my reaction is lets me know what's going on for me that actually needs to be resolved so that I don't react in a conditioned way, controlled by my conditioning to that situation.
Yes, and what you just laid out there is the key to the whole thing. That if something happens, and I can watch ego jump in with, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
What should I do?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to get away from this person. I've got to help this person. I've got to change this person. Mm-hmm. I've got to get out of this situation. I've got to, right? So that doing that ego comes in with, rather than, as you say, staying with the reaction with an attitude of fascination. Well, this is interesting. what is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
as you know.
The other...
Go ahead. The other...
Well, I was just going to, I don't know if you were going, I was going to go on a little bit of a different tangent, which is that that place of separation is almost instantly the place that ego moves us to in a reaction.
Oh,
right.
Yes, which is a form of where I was going, because as you know, and as many people know, I am doing a retreat that it just is called Going Beyond Fear, Resistance, and Limitation, because it is the most freak-out thing that I've ever done with people. I'm not freaking out, but other folks are. And I watch it constantly, where I'll say something to somebody, and they go immediately to, you're not being who I thought you were. And it is almost impossible for the person to get to, isn't that an interesting reaction? It just starts a whole cascade of, oh my God, I've been fooled. There's something wrong. What do I? And to come back from that is, for some people, impossible, which I find, for somebody in my position in people's lives, really interesting, that people are fine with me as long as I behave in a way that their ego says is acceptable.
Yes.
Yeah.
But absolutely.
As soon as I step out from that, it's not, oh, well, here's an opportunity to look at a whole belief system that I have about awareness and spirituality and who people are. And there's no recognition of that at all. It's just what we're describing with ego jumping in for what do I do now?
Yes, I was looking at this in the Musings article too, that ego is a definition of me, right? And so if anything threatens me, I react to it.
Yes.
A way of defending me, right?
Yes.
And that's what we're not allowed to see. Then it becomes about the other person.
Yes, yes. And
not me.
The reason that we're spending so much time on this morning, of course, is, or this afternoon, wherever you are, this evening, if you're calling, is that that reaction is what is controlling us. That if we can learn to step back and watch the way we react to something, we're going to get a view of how ego controls us that we're never going to get otherwise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very powerful to stay with it.
It really is. Just to watch me, for me to watch me, and those all have to be in quotes if we were doing that, for me to watch me the way me watches everybody else.
Yes. All right, let's hear from another caller. Here you go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. It's Jodine in San Francisco.
Good morning, Jodine.
So another fascinating installment on this retreat about anxiety. What I saw about this, a person came up who seems to be like ruled by anxiety, who's kind of close to me, and I had the opportunity to be on vacation with her not too long ago, and I saw that. Like how difficult it is to see into someone else's anxiety, because I'm having my experience of things, like, you know, like the things that I'm anxious about in a situation, like in this vacation thing, we were trying to get from one place to another, to attend an event. And it was tight. It was like the time was kind of tight. And I was anxious about can we experience both of the things, like the thing we were doing and then the thing that we were going to, you know, can we have both of these experiences? Will it work, kind of? And we were late. To the second one, and my companion was like, I don't know, I might project flipping out and saying that we should just forget it, we should just not even go to the second thing, and when I finally probed into why should we not go to this thing when it looked like we were going to be about 10 minutes late, was that her anxiety was over inconveniencing the other people in the event by us being late. And like that just like never registered on my horizon. Like my karma did not register that at all.
Yeah. Oh, that's such an interesting point, Jodine. So beyond the, okay, you're anxious, I'm anxious, or I'm not anxious, but you're anxious about this. Okay, that's one level of it. But then to be present enough to have a curiosity about what is the story that goes, what is the story you're hearing that's causing you to react in this way that we call anxiety? What is the story I'm caught in that is resulting in this reaction that we call anxiety? Isn't that really interesting? They're not the same.
Right. Right. And yeah, and it's like, for me, I was just doing everything to minimize my anxiety, which was like probably driving a little too fast. But it wasn't minimizing her anxiety in the least.
Yes, right, right, because she was anxious about something else. That is so helpful. That just takes us to a whole new place with anxiety. Now, not only can we become interested in the sensations and our story about it and how we're programmed to attempt to deal with it and that sort of thing, but we can be interested about the story, the content, the karmic orientation. To me, that's just another place that makes it more interesting than problematic or troublesome. It's just interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
And to be able to talk about it, it can be a tremendous relief rather than just staying stuck in it and assuming that everybody is coming from the same orientation, to be able to look at, well, what am I believing about that? What am I hearing? What's the story that goes on with that? Can really relieve the pressure that we call anxiety.
Yes, yes, and the relief, I feel like it's when the mentor steps in, because in this instance, you know, by some small miracle, the mentor actually stepped in and spoke through me and said, why don't we just go to the ticket counter and see what they say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, will they let us in? You know, why don't we at least present ourselves ready to participate, even if we're late, and let them, you know, make the call? You know, and kind of in a spirit of a real spirit of curiosity, like if they won't let us in, we'll go have coffee.
Decaf.
But decaf coffee. but to go there instead of like where I go internally, because, you know, the voice that was coming from her also comes up for me internally, and I get into this internal argument, ego doesn't like the person in me who speaks with the voice that she was speaking from that day, and is uh-huh. very dismissive and hateful towards that person.
Uh-huh. Mhm. Mhm. Wow. Well, thank you, Jodine. There is I'm eager to be anxious. Right? I mean, there's just so much to it. There's so much to be interested in and to explore. Why would we ever want to avoid such an experience? Such a rich opportunity to practice awareness. So,
yeah.
Thank you very much.
It's all practice. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jodine. I was just thinking the same thing, Sherry, which is, you know, if you bring the curiosity to the process, there's so much on a principle level that gets relieved about how people are conditioned and how people react, right? We become truly students of conditioning in that sense of the word, because it helps us understand behavior. And what I was, I mean, some of the principles I was tracking as Jodine was talking, right? So my story, I'm the center of my universe. And so I actually, my version of anxiety is not someone else's version of anxiety, but I'm not aware of that. And so just to bring awareness to what is the belief that causes me to feel anxious. And then when I'm clear about that, to look at what might be the belief that is operating for someone else, for them to be anxious. And now we're in that inclusive place that Colin started us off with, which is we're both being controlled, but we're not being controlled by the same thing. And so the same, the same reassurance or the same approach or attitude of mind is not really going to help. So let's work out what each of us is experiencing and what beliefs are controlling us. And from that compassionate and open place, there's the curiosity to go approach the situation in a way that takes care of both of us. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that next layer that Jodine added, which is to be watching how that rejection, that judgment against how I am, gets projected out onto other people. So there's ego stirring up the anxiety, ego hating ego, in quotes, for being anxious, and then all that gets projected out onto other people. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, and
it explains a lot.
It does. And to me, what it ties into is when we were talking about reaction, my reaction is almost always a projection of what I am judged for internally, right?
Yes.
So if someone gets
yes.
to do something I'm not allowed to do, I get angry because that person is allowed to do something that I'm told I'm not allowed to do. And that's just an interesting way to trace back the self-hate as a practice of what negates me that then causes a gets projected on negating someone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a weird way in which how ego works in the world, right? It's ego controlling everything, me and someone else.
Yes. Well, there's the statement, ego controlling everything. At every turn, there's ego with a no that is controlling us. Yeah. Wow.
All right, here's another caller.
Yeah, thank you.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi there. It's Risa in, well, not in Switzerland again, but still Risa.
Still Risa, just not in Switzerland.
Yeah.
Probably actually a different Risa, but we, you know, that's another conversation, right?
Still by the same name.
Yeah, that's right.
Moment.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are you seeing about anxiety, Risa?
Well, actually, I'm seeing the first person or people that came to mind were earlier versions of Risa. Younger versions of myself who were completely eaten up by anxiety, especially in a particular situation that centered around like doing like grant writing projects or like long written projects, which is something that I'm doing right now in my life. I have a big deadline today for something. So when I was doing the exercise last night, what I saw with the mentor was that if anxiety is a conditioned experience, then I'm probably very good at writing because, in fact, conditioning and ego is telling me that I'm not. So that's a clue that, like, there's something probably going on there. And that just simply like how much things open up when I can see the anxiety as a conditioned experience and not something to be believed. But like there's so much possibility that opens up.
Right. You're right. And so two things, Risa. your companion there is gorgeous. Are you hearing that bird?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's gorgeous. And what you're saying is so important, that what the story that we're being told, in this case, designed to make you anxious, is such a clue for you about what is really true. So if it's saying you can't do this project, what you know, because you're step back, you're disidentified from the story, right, is that it would only be saying that because you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you really couldn't do it, it actually wouldn't be talking to you about you can't do it. So there'd be no sense in that. You would be tortured right. about something else, right?
Right.
But the fact, yeah, that is so big, isn't it? It's
another
huge clue about anxiety. That what we're anxious about, that story is there because a problem is being created where there isn't one, which I guess we could say is what ego is doing all the time.
Yeah, yeah. It makes me think about the Screwtape letters as like a really strong embodiment of that sentiment. Because if I think about the narrative voices in the Screwtape letters, then like there's no doubt in my mind that that's completely possible and believable. Like, my ego doesn't question it, you know, because there was just such a tone to those voices.
So you're saying when you read the Screwtape letters, there was no resistance. The voices were not able to say, oh, I don't think that that's true, because it was so obviously true to you. It so mirrored our own life experience that nobody in their right mind who's been paying attention at all could say, oh, no, I think that's made up, or I don't have that experience.
Yes. When I listened to the Screwtape letters, I heard basically in like my own head, because I'm reading to myself, I heard a kind of like violence and viciousness in the words of the devil that make me believe that, yes, of course they would make a problem where there's no problem, and they wouldn't even pick a fight if there was no if there was a problem there. Because that's a vicious thing to do that I see projected also in the voices that that I constructed around the Screwtape letters. And sometimes when I'm having trouble, like, when there's some resistance to something that I'm hearing around the role of ego from the show or from practice, I like revisit that narrative voice that I constructed when reading the Screwtape letters, and sort of like check in and then it like always becomes much easier to like find a place of resonance and understanding with what's happening in practice. Like that resistance just melts away.
Yeah. That's such an important point. So, you know, me thinks the lady doth protest too much. if that little phrase, you know, has become what it's become in culture, because it speaks so clearly to an experience that we all know, but we don't apply it to ego. So when ego gets hysterical about something, it brings up resistance at a fever pitch. If that were our clue that this is only happening because ego is resisting something that it doesn't want me to see as true. If we could just get that, if we could approach that level of ego resistance, not with, oh, this is terrifying, I need to get out of it. Yes, there's something really wrong here, but wow, there's something for me to see here, or ego wouldn't be so hysterical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you. And do you know the name of your little friend singing outside your window?
Well, I can see a cardinal, but I don't think that's the bird. So. I don't know.
I thought so. Lucky you. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Risa.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Risa.
Thank you.
Well, you know, you can always recognize the bird that you want to be singing.
Well, it's, you know.
Yes, but, I do. I do.
Yes, how traumatized I am and simultaneously happy for Risa, because I go east with one mission, and that is to see a cardinal, hopefully hear a cardinal and see a cardinal. And my trip is always complete if I do, and not quite if I don't. So, yeah, I'm very excited for her.
Well, that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. So our assignment for today on the 1st of August, can you believe it?
I know. It's shocking, isn't it? Wow, here we go, August.
Who in your life comes to mind when you consider courage?
Wow. All right. All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Take care, everyone. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.